I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. When things seem too big, too hard, it's not that they're too big and too hard. Certainly not to God. It is that your spirit is so weak and your faith is so small. And so don't believe that there is a problem, a need that is just too much. You know, Jesus, numerous times, he would look at folks and say, oh, ye of little faith. He would never talk about how hard the problem was, right? And so David, when he faced Goliath, that was a seeming impossible situation, but the words that he said, and if you read that 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, it just keeps saying, and David said, and David said, and David said, because that's faith says something. What he never talked about how big Goliath was. He never talked about how small he was. He talked about how big God was and how that the enemy had no help, no covenant, and how that God had helped him in the past and would help him today. Amen. And that's how we get the story. That's why we got this on our, you know, right? Everybody knows about this. And God wants you to have victories in your life too, right? And even things that seem to be so big and such a big problem, no, quit comparing them to yourself. Compare them to God. Yes. You'll feel a lot better. Yes. Father, we thank you so much for being with us like you have. And you are for us. And if you're with us and for us, who and what could be against us successfully? Nothing is bigger than you. We ask you for an infusion of your word and your spirit into us today. Lord, quicken us, build us up, strengthen us by the hearing of your word and the quickening of your spirit. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have been on a series now for weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. Now, when we say faith, we mean faith in God. Faith in God, the way you get it, is by hearing what he said. There is a quickening of his spirit and anointing that comes with hearing his anointed word. It's different from just hearing the words of men. If you hear the words of men, maybe you get information. But hearing the anointed word of God, you get far more than information. There is life in his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And with his word comes the ability to believe it and to do it. So it could very well be that before you heard what he said to do, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But once you've heard him, hallelujah, now with his commands are empowerments. His commands are enablings. You know, when the disciples were in the boat out on the lake and the storm came up and Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter said, if that's you, tell me to come. Well, at this point, can Peter walk on the water?
No,
no way. No way. But what Jesus said, come, come. Just one word. Well, can Peter do it now?
Yes.
He not only could, but he did.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Until he got his eyes off the Lord and off that word, his words are empowering, his commands are enablings. So say it out loud. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For empowering me.
Enabling me.
Quickening me.
With your words.
Today.
Today.
Go with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. Acts, the second chapter. Like we said, we have been on this series now for some time, talking about faith for provision and how that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. We begin reason number one, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is lack God's will, or is Him being our good shepherd and taking care of us His will? And we are convinced that His taking care of us is His will. We looked at that, and we've looked at 29, counting that one, different great Bible truths with multiple scriptures for each one, leading up to number 30 in our study. If you haven't been with us, go online, faithschool.org, and all those previous lessons are there. You can feed on them at your convenience, no charge, no cost, and they will help you to get more out of what we're doing now, because we have built from that to this. One builds upon another. In Acts, the second chapter, we're seeing the beginning days of the church. And in the beginning days of the church, there was the move and manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of the most important things you could ever talk about in this life and going forward. God gave us a brain, He gave us a mind, He gave us the ability to learn, to think, to analyze, to reason. But you will never learn enough in this lifetime to make all the right choices and get everything right. You just won't. There'll always be giant gaps of things you don't know, particularly about the future. Mm-hmm. Hmm? What am I saying? You need help.
Yes.
Help your neighbor. Look at him and say, you need help. you need help. And if you're smart, what will you say? I know it.
Yes.
I know it. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. I have help. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus looked at His disciples, you know, at one point, and He said, I'm leaving, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Basically, He's saying, you need help, and I'm leaving you the helper. Woo! The Holy Spirit. And He talked about what He would do. He will lead you and guide you into all the truth. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. He will take of mine. He will show it to you. He will show you things to come. I have the Holy Spirit. Say it out loud. I have
the great Holy
Spirit.
Spirit.
The great helper,
helping me.
Now, when we're talking about faith, we're talking about provision, we're talking about any of these things, the Lord leads us. We live by faith, we walk by faith. Walk, that's a culmination of steps. Romans talks about this in the fourth chapter, that we are to walk in the same steps of faith that Abraham did. And if you look at his life, Abraham is held up as a preeminent example of living by faith and walking by faith. And if you look at his life, he didn't start out where he ended up. His first big step of faith was to leave mom and daddy. It took faith to leave home and not even know exactly where you're going. But God, he followed. And then it was the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, all the way to the offering up of Isaac by faith. And faith is that way. It is progressive. We get to know God better and better. And he will call on you to do this and to do that. And again, when he says, do this, you'll go, how? You know, you'll and he'll open a door and you'll look and go, what's in there? And he'll say, well, come on in and find out. And he won't tell you the whole deal, and he won't show you the whole thing on purpose. Because if you trust him, all you need to know is enough to take that step. Right? Yeah. Trusting he will show you the next steps and parts. But if you learn to follow him, learn to follow his spirit, he will lead you out of bondage into total freedom. Yes. He'll lead you out of sickness and disability into full ability and health. He will lead you out of confusion and depression into total peace and total joy. He will lead you out of poverty.
Yes.
He will into total provision. But you got to follow. And it doesn't, you know, everything doesn't all happen within a week. But here in the beginning days of the church, you see the emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And you see the emphasis on the unity of the Spirit. In verse 44 of Acts 2, it says, all that believed were together, and they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, houses and lands were just as valuable then as now or ever. And this is something that people are liquidating things, and they are selling things, and they're giving on a high level and a big scale. Well, are they all going to go broke doing this?
No.
What's the end outcome? Go to the fourth chapter. This was not an isolated instance. This is something that continued, and we can assume that this continued throughout the church, throughout the chapters that follow, and is the same will for us today. When they prayed in Acts 4 and 29, 30, 31, said they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They didn't say, no, that's just mine. They had all of them were committed to a bigger vision than their personal things. Would that still be right today?
Yes.
That your biggest goal in life is not just being successful in a career or materially or people knowing who you are, or that is that your main purpose for life? No. As a real believer who has some maturity about them, or, you know, emphasizing spiritual instead of carnal, you get up every day and realize this life will soon be over.
That's right.
So why am I here? What am I doing? I'm supposed to seek the kingdom.
Yes.
Right? I'm supposed to pursue fulfilling the Great Commission. Do I do it by myself? No, I just got a part. But where God has joined and placed in the body every member as it has pleased him. And so he joins us together with gifts of ministry, with other parts of the body that we were made before we were born. We were made to fit. And if all of us pool our faith in common, our energies in common, our strengths in common, and even our material stuff in common, we can accomplish significant things. Hallelujah for God. If you splinter us into 1,000 individual directions, none of us accomplish much. But together, somebody say together. He said, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. They had all things common. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Now, if you haven't noticed that before, circle it, underline it, make a note by it, whatever you need to do, get that in you. Is that the will of God?
Yes.
I mean, the Lord would not have had to take care of all 10, 15,000 of them like this to prove a point. If he just wanted to show that he could bless somebody, he could have blessed a few people. What is this for? To demonstrate that abundant provision is always God's will for what? All of us. All of us. You got to remember, these people are from different backgrounds. You got educated, uneducated. You got people that came from, maybe they had a little something, people that had nothing, people that grew up in the temple and heard some word, people that hadn't heard any scripture at all. And so you got people, especially as time passed, people that had been growing in the Lord for a few years and folks that got saved yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. And yet, all of them, oh, somebody say all.
All.
Don't you like that word?
Yeah.
I particularly enjoy that word. Verse 33 says, great grace was upon them all, neither was there any among them that lacked. All of them had great grace on them, not any of them, which means all of them had their needs met. All. I know this about, it must have been 30 plus years ago, a friend of mine was real studious. I was teaching in the Bible school, and he had told me about this in-depth etymological study he had done on this word all. He researched it from the Hebrew, the Greek, the Chaldean, the Aramaic. I mean, he showed me. He went in and he said what he had found out was what this word from the Chaldean and the Hebrew and the Greek that's translated all, what it really meant was all. And I said, hallelujah. Yes, that's exactly what it really means. Oh, what is all? Everything included, nothing excluded. All means all, right?
Yes.
And it's God's will for all to be saved. He's not willing that any, right, should perish, but that all would come to repentance and eternal life. And that right there shows you, is everybody saved? Has everybody repented? No, millions have not. That doesn't change His will. I said, that doesn't change His will. His will is for all to be saved, all to be healed, all to be delivered from mental oppression, all to have plenty of material provision. Now, the way he did it is he used this part of the body to minister to that part of the body. And then on another occasion, he used that part of the body to minister to this part of the body. That's his plan. That's the way he does it. He could do it any number of different ways, but the reason he does this is because he wants us to appreciate each other. And he wants us to love each other and be thankful for each other. And when I'm standing and believing for something, and God deals with you, he puts it in your hands. And then you obey, you're willing to even sacrifice and come minister and help me, then I can't help but like you. Right? I mean, I called out to God, and he sent you.
Amen.
Come on, can you see this?
Amen.
And the same thing, if you're believing and standing and God touches me and puts it in my hand and has me minister to you, then maybe you liked me before, but now you really like me. Is that right? That's God's plan. And when this happens over and over and over again, can you see something working in the entire body? It's just, ministries helping other ministries, Churches helping other churches. Believers, families helping other families in the church. That's God's will. He doesn't, you know, he can use people, unbelievers, on the outside, but that's not the main way he wants to do things, because he wants the right people to get the reward, right? And the harvest for these good things. So he said that there was not any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors, that means they owned them, of lands and houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Now, I know people have done this, but that doesn't mean they interrupted somebody while they were preaching. Are y'all with me? See, that's something people have kind of assumed. There are any number of ways this could have happened. And the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order, and you'll find the Holy Spirit does not interrupt himself. Amen. He does not. So there are times and ways to do these things. And distribution. Everybody say distribution.
Distribution.
This is something we're going to look at as we continue on this. But distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Go with me to the book of John and the 6th chapter and verse 5. We have in this passage one of the great miracles of provision in Jesus' ministry, the feeding of the multitudes. Verse 5, John 6, 5, Jesus lifted up his eyes, saw a great company, and he turned to Philip, and he said, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he's talking about buying. How many know what you got to have if you're going to buy something? Pretty easy, that one, huh? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus has already got direction about what to do on this. But he's using the opportunity to teach his disciples about faith and about, well, faith. And so Philip said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. They had some money, or you don't say this, right? But I guess, you know, maybe he asked Judas or something real quick, or what do we got? What cash on hand that we could do this? And he tells him, you know, well, we got, you know, 200 pennyworth that I brought with us. That's substantial. That'd be like, that'd probably be like, 2/3 of a year wages type deal. So tens of thousands of dollars. It depends. Well, let's just say 10,000. Because you got to remember, what if you're going to feed 5,000 men plus women and children, huh? I mean, $10,000 worth of Happy Meals? probably wouldn't touch it, right? That's what he's saying. So they had some money. And they had enough money that Judas was embezzling. And if you only got $5 and somebody takes one, everybody's going to know. Hold on. Yesterday it was $5 in there, but there was enough that they are spending everything they need, and they're giving, you know. Obviously they went out and helped people on a regular basis, and then they had it all for their travels and all that kind of thing, and enough that was not noticed. But he said, Andrew, verse 8, said, there's a lad here that's got 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? And Jesus said, oh, that's it. That's good. Have everybody sit down and get ready to eat. That's faith, which is based on hearing from God. And so they sat down, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he what?
Distributed.
See why I went here? He distributed to the disciples, and then the disciples to them. In other words, they distributed to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, say what? Filled. How'd that happen? The miracle of multiplication happened as they were distributing.
Yeah.
Can you see this?
Yeah.
It happened as Jesus took the little boy's lunch, which is a handful of food.
Right.
Handful of food. And he lifts it up. And he says, Father, we thank you for this bountiful provision. And he blessed it. And then he says, tells the 12, come here, come here. And he breaks off a piece and hands it to them. Breaks off a piece. Well, how many pieces can you break off of a little lunch? But something happened as, you know, if you were selfish and scared, you'd grab your little piece and run away.
Yeah.
But what'd they do? Distributed. Somebody say distributed.
Distributed.
God's looking for distributors.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I'm looking in the camera. Do I see a hand? God's looking for kingdom distributors.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, another way of saying that, he's looking for people that will obey him, have enough faith and trust to obey him that he can do miracles in their hands. Miracles in their life. Hallelujah. The miracle didn't happen first and then everybody ran to the baskets. Mm-mm. It happened in the hands of the distributors. Glory to God. Jesus ministered it to the 12. And then the 12 ministered, they had groups of 50, 50, 50. Well, everybody needed to participate in this, because if you hand a piece to the person on this end of the line and the next guy doesn't break off his piece, it stops the flow. Come on, can you see this? This is what was happening in the church. And can you see? This is how everybody's needs got met. Because everybody was delivered from the fear of running out.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Because
yes.
When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're not full of fear.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're full of faith.
Yes.
And so they just kept giving and giving and giving. And it reached all the way through the hundreds and through the thousands, to the point where there was not one person among all these thousands that was in lack or in need. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say it out loud. Lord,
make me a distributor.
Hallelujah. Well, our time's up again today. We'll see you next time here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.